Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you today, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And, of course, we would like to thank all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And remember, SMBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. Also, if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are up on most of the podcast sites. You can pull it down, just search Scuttlebutt or SBN, and you can subscribe. And as new episodes are uploaded, you'll get notifications of that. Also, if you like to listen to Tom's Tirade online on demand, you can do that at CastBox.com. So if you like to get your blood pressure going on demand, you can do that with Tom's Tirade. You can check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. It's at FM Talk 106.5. Check us out on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And we've got a packed show for you tonight. So if we can't get to everything or you'd like more information on the topics of the day, you can always check out the stack at ScuttlebuttNetwork.com. Later on SBN, we'll talk with Carl Christensen and Evan Stratton from the Fight or Die rowing team. They will get us up to speed on everything. Well, it's a new team, so they'll get us up to speed on what to expect from them in the future. Also, the VA cuts off funding to an assisted living facility after finding a veteran had been left for dead for 4 days. Come on.
4 days. You know, I can understand leaving Epstein in his damn cell for 2 hours, but 4 days for a vet? Come on.
We'll talk about it. Also, an Army veteran uses President Trump as an excuse for assaulting a teenager. We'll get into that one. And later on, Tom's Tirade, it's the follow-up to the tirade last week, The Gun is Civilization Part 2. It's especially timely material based on what's been going on here recently. Of course, you know, Tom, we've got another shooting. But this time it's up in, I think, Philadelphia, and I think six police officers have been wounded by some maniac that's boarded himself up in a house. So that's still ongoing, hopefully.
Yeah, Cal, isn't it funny that it has to do with drugs and guns? And the druggies have guns.
Or,
you know.
And right, well, you know, if you when you outlaw guns, only the outlaws will have guns. So.
Amen, brother.
There's a reason they're criminals in the first place. But but anyway, we're going to kick off with the saga of a Marine officer who's put on trial for simply trying to warn his fellow Marines in Afghanistan may finally be coming to a close. And Tom, this is a story we first brought up about a little over 5 years ago. And it's the story of Major Jason Bresler, who's a Marine reservist. You may remember, and we played the tirade a few times, but the tirade was a sacrificial service. And the basics of the story is that this Major Bresler sent emails to Marines in Afghanistan when he found out that a corrupt police officer was being allowed back on base. And when he had been there, they had run this corrupt police officer off the base. And this police officer was running drugs, he was running small boys, all this kind of stuff. But he was sending information to the Marines over there in Afghanistan, saying, hey, look, this guy is bad news, don't let him back on the base. Well, in doing so, he apparently sent some information that had been classified, but it was stuff that he had developed. It was information he had developed about this guy. So he's sending it over there, and the Marines, instead of taking heed, turn around and they decide they want to go after Major Bresler. As a consequence, three Marines were killed because this guy was able to get back on base. And, he was brought up on facing court-martial because of the fact that he had this classified information on his computer. Part of the story that they don't tell, Tom, is that he had the information on a personal computer because the Marines didn't supply him with a computer to use there in Afghanistan, so he had to get his own equipment. And anyway,
well, that's
the Marines...
That's the old story, Cal. You know, improvise and overcome. You know, the man needed a computer, he got a computer. You know, 10-finger requisition. That's the way we used to do it in the old Corps.
Well, and of course, you know, this has been going on, as I said, we've been following it for about 5 years, Tom. But he'd been facing a recommendation for separation since 2013. And they don't tell in the story that we're following off of military.com, they don't really give a lot of the background on it. But apparently, the panel that was assembled to hear his case after his original punishment was thrown out in 2016, this panel is basically said, even though they found that he failed to properly discharge the duties expected of an officer of his grade and expertise, and that he had violated an order by wrongfully removing official classified documents without permission. I mean, it's not like he was storing them on a server in somebody's bathroom like Hillary was.
Right.
You know, goodness knows, she gets to run for president. But anyway... the case is apparently going to be closed. They're not, this latest panel has said that they do not believe that these violations warranted his separation from the Marine Corps. So hopefully he will be able to continue. Of course, you know, at this point, I don't know if he wants to necessarily do it, but goodness knows he's put up a good fight because he's been doing it now for over 5 years. He had a number of very high-profile witnesses who spoke on his behalf. Retired General John Kelly, who was the president's chief of staff. Lieutenant General Lawrence Nicholson, who was one of his commanders in Afghanistan. And several of the New York City Fire Department leaders, where he serves as a firefighter. Interestingly enough, Tom, the aunt of one of the Marines who was shot and killed by one of this pedophile's kids that he was trying to warn against. She, Mary Liz Grosseto, the aunt of Lance Corporal Greg Buckley Jr., she came and testified on his behalf. And I find it interesting that here we are with, if you go back to the original story, Tom, you may remember, he self-reported
the
incident.
He did.
To his command when he realized what was going on. So it's not like he was trying to hide something. He was trying to help out the Marines over in Afghanistan.
Yes.
And apparently he just got caught up in the bureaucracy there. But anyway, congratulations to him. Hopefully he will be able to again serve as a Marine and contribute once again. As always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, we'll talk with the Fight or Die rowing team when we return. Turn to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Airspace, you are clear for takeoff. Have a good one. Clear for takeoff. check your parking brake off. Check your trim set. Check your no-go steering arm maneuver. Diamond Bargo, a low transition, right turnout. 86, diamond out there on 16. Let's run them up.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. And, hey, check us out on Facebook. I think we've got some information about our next guests up on our Facebook page. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And it is always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by the Fight or Die Rowing Team. And today we've got Lieutenant Carl Christensen from the U.S. Navy and Marine Sergeant Evan Stratton. Guys, welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Thank you. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yes, man. I'll tell you what, it's a pleasure, Cal. You know, an old enlisted Marine like myself has had a chance to sit here with Carl Christensen, a graduate of the Naval Academy. And then he tells me that if you stay in like 4 years there, then you go in for another, say, 5 years in active service, then the 4 years you went to the academy doesn't count. But, you know, with the rules and UCMJ rules and all that apply there, it looks like that time would count. But that's the way it goes.
No, it doesn't. So you just have to keep going.
Well, how in the world did a guy from Wyoming, which part of Wyoming are you from?
Powell, Wyoming, near Yellowstone.
And how in the world would a guy from the mountains go in the Navy to be a submariner? I mean, you're going from one extreme to the other, boy.
Yeah, it happens. Got to change your environment from time to time to keep growing.
What's that old saying? Stuff happens.
Yeah.
Stuff happens. That's awesome, and it's glad to have you aboard. Evan, I know you're not a submariner because you're a jarhead and you're about 6'4", so that wouldn't work on a submarine. I don't think.
No. And I'm more than happy to be that guy that rode on top of the ship, not below the ship. But hey, more power to these guys right here for doing that.
Well, Evan, I also understand that you are a combat Marine as well as a Purple Heart recipient.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was wounded in action in Iraq 2009 in Ubaidi, which is right up by the Syrian border. We got ambushed on my way back from a mission one time. I was on a police transition team. So my MRAP was hit by a couple anti-tank grenades. So I took shrapnel to the face, shoulder, arm, neck, and got medevaced out.
Well, see, you have an excuse for your face. I don't.
You know, the grenade didn't do me any disservice, that's for sure.
But, hey, guys and gals, he still looks great. Yeah. But it's a pleasure to have both of you guys
Thank
on board.
You.
And I want to... there's two other veterans that are on this team that will be with the Fight or Die team. And Carl, you might give us a little bit of insight on both of those guys.
So we have two more. One is a Army guy. He, sir, just a sec. He was an EOD guy in infantry, and he is from Juneau, Alaska, and his name is Luke Holton. And our second individual is John Fannin. He was another Marine, and... he was a regular ground pounder.
All right, yeah, 0311, probably.
He was a 0351, the assaultman. He would make sure we wanted you to know that.
Okay, I accept that fact. But tell him I was in supply, so he couldn't have done a damn thing without coming to see me first.
Oh, yeah, you got to be nice to the supply guys, that's for sure.
But that's neat. I enjoyed my service, and I volunteered to go back when I was about 75. They said I was over the hill, so, you know, I'm still trying to get in. I guess I could get in some kind of volunteer Marine Corps service.
Hey, man, it sounds like you guys are doing quite a bit here on the Scuttlebutt
Network,
so we appreciate it.
We're kicking and growling and trying to get the word out to all of our vets. But, Carl, I understand you're the skipper.
I am the skipper.
Being this a Navy operation, I guess they wanted a Navy man in charge.
Well, I guess. Yeah. It's all a team. It's skipper and title. I'll be in charge of navigation and stuff, but teamwork first, so we're going together.
So you can read
team.
The stars, in other words, huh?
GPS?
Oh, GPS. Not stars.
No.
Back in the day, we used stars in a compass. Yeah.
We won't be doing that.
No, no compasses. Yeah, they came in tonight. They'd never been to the studio and all, and they come buzzing right up, pull right on into the to the parking lot. And I said, y'all need to take that GPS with you out on your trip. I understand the first crew had a little bit of trouble there, maybe dragging a anchor a little bit too long to try to stay out of some of the weather. Got off course, and it cost them probably three, four, five, six, maybe eight positions. But, yep. You know, you learn, and I'm sure y'all will tell what you to do and what not to do in regard to this.
Yeah, you know, they say this whole race is 80% mental, 10% physical, and 10% luck. The weather's going to do what it does, and, you know, you can navigate and prepare the best you can, but once you're out on there, the ocean seas, the wind, currents, and waves are going to be a real indicator of how well we do.
Well, I was also talking to these gentlemen here before we went on air about the fact that they would be in the Mobile area in around for about a month, doing a lot of training, getting the boat ready, getting all the gear ready, and I noticed... Evan, you were getting some of that stuff squared away down there the other day, so I figured that you were in supply, but then found out that you weren't. So, but they did give you that detail because they knew a Marine would take care of it.
That's right. You know, I channeled it all together, and I think as Marines, we all know what it's like to stand out on the parade deck with all your gear for an SL3 inspection and your chucks, and waiting for the battalion commander to walk by. And you know, I went back to my Lance Corporal days, and I channeled that together, and we actually passed our advisory inspection today. So all good news.
That's great. That is really great. You know, it was a surprising another area that we approached prior to coming on. I was just trying to get a little bit of insight on you know, about how you guys worked out, how you stayed in shape, and the amount of calories. I know that when we had the guys on last year, they were talking about somewhere around 5,000 calories, 5,500 calories that they felt like that they would need, and they had enough food and chow for that. But yet then they come back and I see him, and I talked to Bryant and had a chance to meet him since he's got back, Bryant Knight, which is our retired Army major from the Mobile area. And hell, I think he lost 30-something pounds, you know. I mean, was 5,500 calories not enough, Carl, or not?
So, one, eating that much is very, very difficult. And two, we are working 12 hours a day. So we'd be doing three on, three off. So you're rowing for 3 hours straight, then you get to eat and sleep. Take it in personal hygiene. And then... in 2.5 hours, you're going to wake up and you're going to row for another 3 hours. So It's just constant work. So work 12 hours a day, constantly physical.
Do they find that it's necessary for you to actually eat on every break or every 3 hours?
Is that the way they do it? You have to eat essentially as much as you can.
So you resupplement yourself after you get through rowing and take a big, large intake, probably a couple thousand calories on each trip of rowing.
Pretty much. Yep. So also eating after your shift helps the body repair itself so that you can be ready for the next shift. So having constant intake of nutrients is going to be key.
Have y'all found some kind of exotic nutrients and minerals and foods, proteins, intakes?
The key is variety.
Variety?
Variety.
Okay. Now, Evan, you spoke to me about you even had some super snacks that you were going to take.
Yeah, you know, well, just like Carl said, variety is a real key thing there. You know, there's not a lot of luxuries on the ocean and on the water, so one of those few things you can do for yourself is making sure you've got food you look forward to eating. So freeze-dried food, while it's calorie-dense and it's what we're going to be really relying on for the bulk of our calories, we're going to look to supplement that with, like, snack packs. So easy-to-eat items, chocolate bars, candy, crackers, you know, things like that. Ooh, peanut butter.
All the things that we love, huh?
All the things we love, man. You know, I'm trying to think, like, hey, what would a six-year-old boy want? Boom. Oh, yeah. Hitting the grocery stores.
There you go. Well, you know, you won't be making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but you might eat a whole jar of peanut butter, though.
No, that's true. You know, it was funny. We were talking with the race director today, and he's talking about, you know, take some stuff from the grocery store early on for the first week. So they had guys that were bringing pizzas that they could eat the first few days. When they leave La Gomera, they're slinging a ham over the edge and all that good stuff.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, you know, but just the thought that you, you know, you're going to be out there 30, 40, 50 days. I mean, you know, you want to make the first few days good, whatever you could get your hands on
exactly,
to eat.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
And you want, knowing you're going to lose 30 pounds or 40 pounds, you know, then you want to try to bulk up, try to get, you know, Get the calories out. Get the protein
in.
That's
right. Leave port with a sweet taste in your mouth.
All right. Well, we've had a good coverage here so far, but we were going to take a break here, and we'll come back. And we're going to have a call come in here from Mr. Nick DiMaggio from DiMatria, however you say that, from over at the Ed Seafood Shed. And we'll be right back.
Radio with your hosts Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. And again, check us out on Facebook. We've got some information about the Fight or Die team on there. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
Man, I tell you, we really appreciate all these fine folks that continue to help the show, make this show possible. The Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, our friends over at in Old Marino at Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And we are talking with some of the crew of the Fight or Die rowing team. Guys, again, thank you for your service, and thanks for joining us here on the Scuttlebutt.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Glad to be here.
Man, I tell you, we were thinking there a while ago, and Michelle gave one of your teams to help support you here while you're in port. It reminded us, you know, that Brian and his troops were out there for 56 days.
54.
Oh, 54 and 55, one of those, you know, one of those big numbers. But now that we've got a couple of Marines on board and we've got a Navy skipper on board, what do you guys think? What's your goal?
40 days or so.
Or less.
Or less.
Or less.
There you go.
Jarhead said less.
You know, fair winds and following seas are there for us, then I think we make a real good time.
Look, you know, I think those Army guys might have got lost out there, you know, and all they're familiar with is a damn compass, or a map, and they, maps don't do you any good out there.
I don't know, when you're blazing a trail, it's easy to get turned about, but, we're glad to be falling in the footsteps of some hard chargers.
Well, you know, what are the reason? Why are you guys out there? You know, I mean, what are you trying to prove?
So the overall reason is to, we are going to row across the Atlantic Ocean. That is a physical thing. We are going to be a positive example for all other veterans to pretty much show them that they can row their own metaphorical ocean. So everybody has their problems and issues.
Right.
It's their ocean, and we're going to show them that they're still strong. They can still accomplish a lot.
Amen. That is so true. Well, what can you guys at Scuttlebutt Radio listeners, what can we do, and how could we help you guys?
You know, it's four guys out on a boat in the middle of the ocean, but it's really an army of support and morale that gets us there from the beginning of the year to the end of the row. So if you're on social media, check us out at Fight or Die. That's OAR. So, you know, it's a little punny, Fight or Die on Facebook and Instagram. There's ways to donate. We're a registered 501c3, so all of that money goes right back to us to get us across the ocean. Follow us along on our journey coming out to the events where we're there, but we're just here for all other veterans as much as we can be, so we're always open to questions, opportunities. Also want to mention Marcus Institute of Brain Health and the Denver University Sturm Center of Military Psychology. Those are two of our partners that we're supporting, who are really they're leading the ocean row of their own respective fields, so helping veterans with PTSD and traumatic brain injuries.
That's awesome, man. I'll tell you, this that's really neat. It's also you have a website called USVet, or is it USVetRow.org?
USVetRow.org.
Okay, USVetRow.org. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we've got a caller that is online here with us, and this gentleman is Mr. Nick from over at Ed's Fantabulous Seafood Shed on the Causeway. Nick, glad to have you on board tonight, buddy.
What's happening, Tom?
Man, I don't know it. I've got these guys in here, you know, and I got a Jarhead and an Uber driver. I mean, a Navy guy.
man, I was just listening to them, and I was just unbelievably just taken back by what you guys are doing. And August 24th, we would love to raise some money for you with a pancake breakfast at Ed's from 8 a.m. till 11.
Get
some people out there to get you some support. You know, Pete Blohm, who's my partner at Ed's, he's part of that. You know him, Pete, well. He does the mess lords, and, you know, the military is definitely near and dear to us, family members. My nephew is a Marine out in California, recon, and we're in total support of everything y'all doing, and look forward to trying to help out.
Thank you.
Well, Nick, I tell you, it's I think that is really neat that you guys have been able to come up with this, because that was one of the questions that I had just asked them prior, was what could we as people here, that we're not rowers, and some of us are not vets, and a lot
we
of
need
us
to get everybody out there to listen, get their butt out to Ed's.
Get your butt to Ed's.
Yeah, if you if you want to see what an ocean rowing boat looks like and what we're going to be in, the Whoopee, which is our boat, we'll have it out there. So, Nick, Pete, thank you so much. We really appreciate that support. And if you're here in the Mobile, Alabama area, please, please come out. And even if it's just to say hello and have some pancakes with us, the whole team will be there with the boat.
Get those selfies, man. Get the pictures with the guys.
Oh, yeah, we're there.
Yeah, well, you guys have some of your shirts or hats or anything, do you know of, or have you been able to get them down here yet?
Yeah, we got a little bit of swag. I don't know exactly all what we have on hand, but we got a small bit, so it might be a little bit of first come, first serve, so you might have to get there early.
Get there early.
Yep.
Get there early. But, Nick, man.
We'll be flapping the pancakes and have the juice and the coffee, and Tom will be telling lies over there in the corner. And
oh, yeah.
We'll have a good time for sure.
I'll be over there chomping down on the vittles, man.
August 24th, 8 to 11, man. Get them out there.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah. And we've got a lot of participation from our listening audience out here, and especially our vets are going to want to come over and see these guys and
please
be able to talk to them about the adventures that they've had in being overseas and in different places. We've got two of these guys that are Purple Heart recipients, and three combat veterans. And, you know, is a submariner a combat vet? How about it, Skipper?
Yeah. So what we did is... we tooled around the ocean doing stuff.
I noticed that you haven't been very liberal with what kind of stuff you guys did, but I questioned the fact that you were on a submarine, so therefore you couldn't get shot with some kind of hand-operated weapon. But you said, there was times, you know, so I'm taking that as you're not really going to say what the hell y'all were doing.
No, I can't.
All right, Nick, I think we've got a Navy skipper on board now, and we've got two jarheads on board, and we've got an Army guy there to back them up. So I think we're going to have
one. And you got the Whoopee.
And we got the Whoopee, yeah.
She is a wonderful vessel.
And she's sweet. She's going to be your sweetheart for about a month out there.
On the 24th.
All right. Looking forward to that, Nick. Thank you, buddy. Give Pete our regards.
Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. But these fine people continue to work with us here on the Scuttlebutt Network and in the Mobile area and help support our veterans and all. It's just really neat, though. Pete has been all over the world with the mess lords and, in Guantanamo two or three times. I don't know where he's taking a head count down there or what, but, he's really supported our vets as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's really great. It's I think it's been really cool to be a part of this this organization because it's so unique, it's so new. Not a lot of people even knew you can cross an ocean in a rowboat, and it's been really cool to see how the veteran community has really rallied behind us, but also even non-veterans alike. It's such a bridge builder, which is so much of what we need as veterans these days is that civilian support and really bridging the gap and finding new exciting things to get behind together.
Well, you know that since you guys are going to be in the Mobile area for a while down at the Buccaneer Yacht Club, our local people are anyone else that may be listening can actually follow you on your Facebook page.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, so fight or die.
Fight or die. And that way it keeps keeps everybody up to date on what's going on. But I tell you, it's just, man, I'm just really thrilled. But I can't believe that they haven't established some specific rule of exercise or some specific areas. And I guess you do have some specific areas you're going to try to build up for shoulder strength, arm strength, and well, leg strength too, you know.
So, yeah, I would say a lot of the time that I've spent on the erg, which is a rowing machine, hasn't really been greatly useful.
Right.
But a lot of it is strength, a lot of deadlifts, a lot of shoulders, a lot of squats. So, we're all going to be changing our PT schedule.
And you'll be bulking up.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Skipper Carl Christensen and... Marine Evan Stratton, pleasure to have you guys on board. Seem like our music come in there a little bit quick, but we'll get to it now and let them go ahead with it. Glad to have you on board, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tom.
Thank you, sir.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die.
Men now, 4330 is the break.
Just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
As Paul Harvey used to say, is the rest of the story and a follow-up to my tirade on how the gun is civilization. But before I jump into that, let me give you a little background on the history of gun control. In 1929, the Soviet Union established gun control. And from 1929 to 1953, about 20 million Soviet descendants, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. In 1911, Turkey established gun control. From 1915 to 1917, 1.5 million Armenians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Germany established gun control in 1938, and from 1939 to 1945, a total of 13 million Jews and others who were unable to defend themselves were rounded up and exterminated. Communist China established gun control in 1935. From 1948 to 1952, 20 million political dissidents, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Guatemala established gun control in 1964. From 1964 to 1981, 100,000 Maya Indians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Are you sensing a pattern here yet? Uganda established gun control in 1970. From 1971 to 1979, 300,000 Christians, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. Cambodia established gun control in 1956. From 1975 to 1977, 1 million educated people, unable to defend themselves, were rounded up and exterminated. The number of defenseless people rounded up and exterminated in the 20th century because of gun control, 56 million. Yes, 56 million. Just take a moment for that number to sink in. You wouldn't see this data on the U.S. Evening News or hear politicians disseminating this information. Compare that number to the estimates of the total killed in all the wars of the 20th century at only 35 million. And the gun control debate takes on an entirely different light. The next time someone talks in favor of gun control, please remind them of this history lesson. Take note, my fellow Americans, before it's too late. Guns in the hands of honest citizens save lives and property. Yes, gun control laws adversely affect only the law-abiding citizens. With guns, we are citizens. Without them, we are subjects. You got that? Subjects. I will remind you again that during World War II, the Japanese decided not to invade America because they knew most Americans were armed. Just a quick look at the other side of the coin. Switzerland issues every household a gun. Switzerland's government trains every adult that they issue a rifle. Switzerland has the lowest gun-related crime rate of any civilized country in the world. It's a no-brainer. Yet, somehow, President Obama's solution to just about every social ill in the U.S. is to draft more gun control legislation, which only restricts the rights of law-abiding citizens to protect themselves not only from the criminals, but also from the ever-encroaching federal government. Considering that we are now in a war of civilizations with the Islamic State and to its followers, the last thing that we need to do as a nation is to unilaterally disarm our populace. And this is a truism that cuts both ways. Anyone with a modicum of common sense can understand at this critical juncture in our nation's history, disarming our citizens and telegraphing that to our friends and enemies only invites more attacks within our country at a time when our government is already admitting that they cannot keep up with the pace at which Islamic terrorists are infiltrating our country. Combine this with the fact that the politically correct culture of which I spoke in my tirade, Who's to Blame?, has made eunuchs out of once proud patriots, and you would potentially have a recipe for disaster and anarchy throughout our nation. As they say, power abhors a vacuum, and I fear that our enemies, both at home and abroad, would do everything in their power to exploit this situation, and that one of the first things to be destroyed would be our liberties, so dearly paid for by the blood and sweat of patriots through the decades. One can only imagine those who might attempt to fill this void. On the one hand, you have fanatical groups such as ISIS, stepping in to rule with fundamentalist Sharia-type laws which subjugate women and non-believers. On the other hand, you have the ultra-nationalistic groups that will cling to a hardcore ideology largely built around hate and fear. However, both will promise peace and security for those who wish to conform. Remember, Hitler had the trains running on time. But of course, the payment for this is a sacrifice of one's individual freedom of thought, expression, and the liberty to enjoy it. As someone once put it, I would rather die free in fighting than live safely on my knees. And so, listeners, veterans, patriots, Americans, there's your choice. Freedom to live as you want with the individual responsibility and accountability that comes with it, or subjugation to an unyielding ideology at the end of a gun or knife. One is yours if you can keep it. The other will be yours if you cannot. And as for me, I choose liberty. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Pull up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, yeah!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters. A couple of old Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it in the fighting spirit. To keep it. And, you know, Tom, before we jump into a couple of other stories here, and of course, your tirade is absolutely spot on with everything that seems to be going on in our nation today. It's basically a matter of liberty or subjugation, one way or the other. It just depends on which you want to choose. But, I was going to mention it at the show last week, but we had some technical difficulties there at the end. But you know, a couple of Thursdays ago, you had the privilege, or you joined me in asking a wonderful woman, Amanda Lee, to I asked her to if she would marry me.
Come and, get it out, know, man, silly, get it out.
Yeah.
Why is
Damn,
she?
But
why
anyway,
is she stuttering?
She said yes.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
She didn't stutter, buddy.
And, awesome. And of course, you know, you and the whole team there, you all had worked. Goodness knows there was the cake and the fireworks and all kinds of stuff that I didn't know was coming. But
man, we had the whole
you guys
place
did a fantastic job.
About?
Congratulations, Cal.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I know. Well, thank you, Charlie.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, she is. She's an incredible woman, and I am. I'm lucky to have her in as part of my life, as I am to have good friends like you guys. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that and here on air and say thank you to you for being there and to her for saying yes. But just real quick, Tom, this assisted living facility out in California, I think it was in the Van Nuys area. The VA cut off the funding for it after they found a veteran that had been dead for 4 days.
Right, right. Unbelievable.
And it went even further, Tom. An investigation found a 100-year-old veteran with sepsis was denied prescribed antibiotics because they were not covered by Medicare. Another veteran received a double dose of medication. A third was denied drugs and charged $5 a meal because he preferred eating in his room. So apparently the VA stepped up and yanked their funding. But goodness gracious, Tommy, with all of that going on, why is this place open, whether it's for the VA, for veterans or not?
Yeah, why the hell is it open to start with?
Right. That that's an incredible incredible question there. But hopefully, some of these veterans will be able to recover from that. But anyway, that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network Radio Program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. We thank you for joining us. Hopefully, you will join us again soon. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those that are in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!